we're holding on Memhei Omud Beis by the two dots, about the middle of the Omud.
Yes.
Okay, we're still in the middle of discussing situations involving where a girl is Mekudesh without her father's das. So we have the whole discussion whether anything is needed at all, whether she needs a, whether we had Rav and Shmuel saying she needs a get and miyun, Ola saying she needs none of the above. We discussed this Ola disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel or not, and we went through it. We said Ravina says that maybe you don't need anything at all either, and so on and so forth.
One thing you don't need anything at all
because we're saying, because the girl, because we're talking about a katana, or even a naira, and her kedushin depends on her father. It's her father who has the right to be mekadesh her at that age, and she doesn't have the right to do it on her
own. And how, what right does he have to actually live with her, or whatever it is?
We're not talking about living, we're talking about kedushin.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, and even
now we're going to talk about nisuin, actually, so wait.
But the kedushin part.
The condition.
If an adult is getting married to Kalak, he doesn't.
So she was willing to accept it on her own, so he figured fine, but he didn't realize that her father. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, here's another case. Niskanchula Dasavia, what happens if a girl is Makodesh with her father's Das? So far, so good. The condition are valid. But which, by the way, I mean, so she received the kedushin money. That's fine, you know. Where we, there, you have a case the Gemara talks about where the father says to her, "Tsiiva kabli kedushayes, you Aktana, go receive your kedushin money. You're being in effect my yad or my chotzer," as we learned the other day. I mean, you need aiding, obviously, but we're not talking about that. We're saying, you know, what the point is that the point is, in other words, it could be that she received it, but fine, it's her father's, it's under her father's reshus, so it's all good. But now, her father went overseas, but under the nisus, and now she did the nisuin without checking with her father. Now, the father has the right not only to determine whether she's going to do kedushin, but also whether the nisuin are going to happen. She's still in his reshus after all. So now the question is, are those nisuin going to be valid as far as other implications? Now the erusin obviously has been accomplished already, so therefore there's no question if they wanted to dissolve it, they need a get. Question rather is going to be something else. So Omer Rav, Oichelos b'truma. So Rav says, if her chosin is a kohen, then she can already start eating truma. Ad she yavi 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 yimcha, until her father comes and protests and says, "I didn't want the nisuin." So now, so but until then, because after all, we learned in Ksubas, midaraisa, even an arusa is allowed to eat truma. Midrabbanan, she shouldn't eat truma until the nisuin. Now at this point, nisuin have taken place. So therefore we're good. If the father comes and protests, then she'll stop eating truma. But until then, she's allowed to.
So he agrees to the first part.
He agrees to the first part. Let's say he wanted to delay the second part. Think of, like, you know, you have Lovan and Basua arguing, not Lovan, whatever, Lovan and his mother arguing. Teisha Anaroi Tanu Yomimai also, right? There they have the kedushin took place already. That's when he gave her the nose ring and all the other things. And then they're saying, let her wait over here for 10 months or a year or whatever, and so we can prepare. Yeah, so
he had something else in mind.
Yeah, whatever. That he had something else in mind, it is true. But nevertheless, the point is, the father may not want the nisuin to take place yet. Anyway, Rab Asi, Omer, Rab Asi says the opposite. Eina Ichelas, she should not eat truma, even though she's already in nisua. Shema yavi 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 yimcha, because her father might come and protest. Then it comes out that she, a Zora, a non-Kohen, has been eating truma retroactively, because it turns out that retroactively the nisuin was not good. Strictly speaking, Tosfos says, we're not talking really a Zora after all Midaraisa, after the Erusin, she would be allowed to eat truma. And again, you know, the Erusin were with her for the father's permission, there's no problem with that. But nevertheless, we mean Dirabana, though, she shouldn't be eating until the Nisuin. And in this case, you have the issue that the Nisuin may not turn out to be a valid Nisuin. And the Gemara, in fact, says, Haba Uda, it once happened, exactly such a case, v'chosh lo Rav lohod Rav Asi. And Rav was concerned about Rav Asi's opinion, and he told them, and he said that she shouldn't eat truma even after Nisuin until we find out what the father wants. Where now, you have the big question, who is the halacha like? So Tosfos discusses, on the face of it, the halacha then should be like Rav Asi. You see, apparently Rav changed his mind. On the other hand, though, Rabbi Natan says, no, the halacha is still like Rab. Rab Asi is the Talmud of Rab, and until Rava and Abaya, we have the rule, halacha. The halacha is like the earlier opinion. Beginning from Abaya and Rava's times and on, we say halacha kabasroi. That's why we discussed yesterday the halacha may be like Ravina in this whole matter of where the kedushin was done without the father's das, because Ravina is later than Rav and Shmuel. But here we're talking about before that, so therefore the halacha would be like Rav. What about that Rav is, and the reason, by the way, why does it change from Abaya and Rava? Tosfos mentions because the beginning from then, they were more medactic, they were more careful with finding out all the prior opinions so that they could decide ultimately what the halacha is. Eventually we have that became the Gemara as we have it, where they gathered together all the available opinions. Rav was concerned about Rav Asi's opinion. Doesn't mean that he actually changed his mind. It meant he was machmir and extra chumra to be on the safe side, but not that he actually held that he's actually changing his mind. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, umoide Rav she'imese eino yosha. Now, even though Rav is saying she can eat truma, meaning in other words that Rav is saying the nisuin is considered a full nisuin, at least until the father comes and protests, Rav will agree that if during that time the girl dies, her husband doesn't yaushin her. Because the fact that a husband yaushins his wife is daraisa. This that she can't eat truma until the nisuin is only dirabon. So therefore we can say by a thing dirabon, we can be makel, and we can say that look, midaraisa she would have been able to eat after the Erusin regardless. So therefore, since it's only Dirabanan that she has to wait till Nisuin, then fine, we can be Makel in this kind of case in Nisuin. But when it comes to Yerusha, that the husband Yaushin's his wife is Daraisa, so then we would only consider him like an Orus and he doesn't Yaushin her. One second. Because even if you say that it's a Suffolk, Uki Mamoina, Bacheskas Mare, you leave the money in the owner of it, in the chazaka of its owner. So in other words, even if you're going to say that it's a matter of a suffix, Hamoitz Vachavel, Varaya, which then Tosfos points out, what about if the husband now already has the chazaka of her Nichsa Malug? The fact is he didn't have the right to start taking those Nichsa Malug yet. That kicks in only after the Nisuin. So if he started taking them over, it's illegal for him to do that, and therefore it's still considered to be in the chazaka of the Yoshim of her Yoshim.
The part that bothered me is the father gave her permission.
The father gave her permission to do the kiddushin.
But once he gave permission to do that, she has a yad already.
No. First of all, no, because we're talking about over here where she's a Tana, or even a Naira. But the point is, the father not only has Rishus over her Erisin, he also has Rishus over her Nisuin. Rashi elsewhere explains, because look, where do we know the whole concept that the father has the Rishus over his daughter as far as her marriage? We learn from the fact that the Torah says, the father says, as Biti Nasati. So that means all the nesinas. That means all the stages of the nesina. Then the father is. Then the father is involved.
The both parts. Are
so both parts. Both parts are considered. Are considered nasati. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how it is.
If she became a in between.
She became. If she became a begeris, that's different because a begeris already is not under her father's rishus. We're talking about she's still a kana or a naira the whole time. Okay. Here's another din. Niskad shelo das v'nisis shelo das. Here's another case. Again, the kedushin took place with the das of her father. The nisuin took place without his das. The difference is, in the previous case, we had the father was away. We don't know. So it's not like he was away. So we don't know whether he would like the nisuin or not. Here we have the case of Aviha Khan. Her father is here, but he didn't participate in the chasana. So what does that mean? Does he disapprove of it or not? Rav Huna Omar. Eino Ichelus. So Rav Huna says in that case, Shitaka can't eat truma because maybe the father didn't agree to it. V'Rav Yumiya Ba'aba Omer Ichelus. Rav Yumiya Ba'aba, who, as we're going to say soon, was Rav Huna's Talmud, says she could eat truma. So let's take it out. Rav Huna Omer Eino Ichelus. V'Afilu L'Rav Omer Ichelus. Now, even according to Rav in the previous case, who says she could eat, the difference is Hosam Hudla Isil Ab. The difference is because there the father is not in town, so therefore maybe he agreed to it. Here he's in town and he didn't bother coming to the wedding. So obviously, the fact that he didn't actually say anything, is just because he's angry at the situation, but not that, and therefore he doesn't agree with it. Therefore, we would assume by default, says Rav Huna, that he doesn't agree to this nisuin, and he would have agreed, fine, eventually she's going to do nisuin, the purpose of kedushin eventually is nisuin, but not yet. And therefore, for whatever reason, and therefore we can say the nisuin, so again, he has rights over her nisuin, therefore the nisuin can't be considered a nisuin until he agrees, and therefore she can't eat turma, as is the usual rule, then another Muslim, a dirabanan, can't eat turma.
A good part of the reason, but now it's different, but then, the reason why it was done a year later, because it took time to get them to make
sure. Right. So let's say,
she managed to get herself ready. So why not?
For whatever reason, the father decides that she's not ready for it. Anyways, he says, even according to Rav Asi, who said in the previous case she can't eat truma, that's because Hossam, who deshema yama yaviya, because her father might come from the Ninasayam, the Yimcha, and protest. Aval hocha, the shosik, the fact that he's being quiet, on the contrary, itnucha itnuchale, means that he's made his peace with the situation. And in other words, therefore, so he agrees, we're still going to say, the Rosh points out, we're still going to be saying that he doesn't yaushin her, like we said in the previous case, because they already have a suffix, but at least as far as eating truma, even Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba is saying, in this case, even Rav Asi would agree that truma she can eat, because now at least we have very strong reason to think that he agreed to it, otherwise he would have said something. Another din, niskadcha shaloi ladas aviyah v'nisis shaloi ladas. What about if both the kedushin and the nisuin were done without the das of her father? But aviyah kan, and again, her father is here the whole time, and he could have spoken up at some point, and he didn't. Now what happens? Rav Huna omar echelas, Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba omar ein echelas. Now you have the opposite. Rav Huna and Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba are going to say the opposite. Rav Huna is going to say she still can eat truma because we assume at some point the father agreed. Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba says eina echelas because we don't know, because we have reason to think maybe the father didn't agree with it.
But he is in town.
He could say something, but nevertheless he could say mirtach rotach the whole time he's angry. In fact, there's machlokas aposkim whether in that case we apply what we learned in the earlier sugya that she's going to need to get to the miyun or maybe she's not going to need anything at all, because in this case we have much stronger reason to think that the whole reason why we said we need to get the miyun is what if the father agreed, what if the father didn't agree, but he was in town the whole time. You could argue, and this is how the Bach says, that she doesn't need anything at all. On the other hand, the Rashba says that she would require misafik getum.
If her father's in town, and it's let's say because he agrees, then she would need the.
If she agrees, then she'll need a get. But if she hasn't agreed, then yeah. So Omar Ula. So Ula says, Hod Rav Huna, this last statement of Rav Huna, are very difficult to understand. And he uses a Lashon HaPosit. It's like vinegar for the teeth, which is harmful, or like smoke for the eyes, which is also harmful. In other words, it's very difficult to deal with this opinion of Rav Huna. Ashta, let's consider. In the earlier case where the Kedushin was with her father's das, the Kedushin are then valid on a Daraisa level. Amrit Loy Ocha, and you, Rav Huna, are saying that she can't eat truma because what if the father didn't agree? Hocha, here the Kedushin were without his das, like Koshikin, how much more so? So Rav Huna seems to be very inconsistent. So therefore, Ula finishes off saying, Nirin Divrei Talmud. It seems more logical to accept the words of the Talmud of Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba over the Rebbe Rav Huna. Tosfos, by the way, points out over here and in a few other places in Shas that apparently there were two Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'abas, because we find that Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba, who was a chaver of Rav, and a Talmud chaver, rather, of Rav, and Rav is the Rebbe of Rav Huna. So now you're not going to have the same one as going to be a Talmud of Rav Huna. So evidently there were two different chachamim of the same name. And in fact, some people point out that one of them is Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba and the other one is Rebbe Yirmiyahu Ba'aba, meaning that eventually he moved to Eretz Yisrael and got smicha. And therefore, so they would, in fact, be two different people.
But according to one that says the Talmud, he's the one that holds it.
So we're talking about the Talmud. So we're not talking about the one who was the Talmud Chavah of Rav. We're talking about the second one who was a Talmud of Rav Huna and eventually moved to Eretz Yisrael and then got the title Rebbe because he got Smith. The point being, in other words, Ulla is saying that it seems more logical to follow Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba's opinion and say that in this case, she can't eat Truma because the fact is the Kedushin and the Nisuin were done without her father's das. But Omar Rava, my time is Rav Huna. So Rava says, though, what is Rav Huna's reason? How do we explain him so as to avoid Ulla's problem with it? The reason is Hayov Nasa Ma'isi Yisoma B'Chaya Av. Because at this point, the way things have been done is like the way it would be done to a Yisoma, even though her father is alive. In other words, the very fact that you had the Kedushin and the Nisuin all without his das, and he didn't say anything the whole time. So Rashi says, either what it means is that he was maskir, that he gave away the schus that he would have to marry her off, and he said, fine, let her do whatever she wants, or shtika kaida. It's one thing, in other words, Rashi says, if the Kiddushin were Ladaita, and then later on the Nisuin, or Shalai Ladaita, you could say that he's angry by the Nisuin, and therefore he doesn't speak up. But to be quiet through the whole Erusin and the whole Nisuin, and like you said, usually they're a year apart, to that extent, we're not going to say, therefore we have reason to think that he was Moichel on the whole thing, and he says, fine, let her do her own Kiddushin. Tosfos Riyazokin says, in fact, it would almost be like a case where he tells her, "See, v'kabli kiddushayach, go ahead, you receive your kiddushin. I'm making you my yad or my chotzer for that, as we talked about the other day, for my yad, whatever, for that purpose, and therefore that would be valid kiddushin."
That's over here. I'm sorry, my little brain, because the father late to the first part said, "You go ahead, be makabel." So what's he? But if he was,
you keep willing, on asking why it is that he wouldn't agree to the Nisuin. It doesn't matter why.
He was willing to do the first part, so then the second part.
You could say any number of things. You could say maybe he changed his mind. Maybe between the Kedushin and the Nisuin, he decided that this guy is not right for her, and the Rabbi is going to start. He's going to start convincing her to get a get. Well, he can't cut it off. The fact is that the Kedushin was done. He thought at the time of the Kedushin, the guy was a good fellow. Now it turns out that not. He's going to need a get. So maybe in between, he's pressuring her to get a get. He's telling her, you know, you really need to get a get. You really need to convince this chosen of yours to give you a get. And meanwhile, she doesn't want. And meanwhile, they go ahead and do the Nisuin.
Right. Since all kinds of right. Since the father agreed, it would have to be a get.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever the case, so that explains. So Ulla found it hard to understand Rav Huna's opinion, but rather saying here is how we can understand it. Because now she's, in effect, acting like a Yisrael B'chaya. Okay.
That's if he's out of town.
No, he's in town, we're talking about. He's in town the whole time. See, he's in town the whole time, yeah. Okay, the fact that he didn't speak up anything about the oldest time means, like Rashi says, either he gave away the schos or shtika kaida. To say that he's angry and doesn't speak up all that time is very difficult to say, and therefore Rav Huna says we don't have to be concerned about that. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba would be concerned that maybe it is. Okay, it's my so now we have yet another discussion. Ketana shniskad shaloi l'das aviyah. So now again, Ketana, and some have shown him say that instead the girsa should be also naira. Who was Mekodesh without her father's das. Omer Rav, Bein Hi or Bein Avia, Yecholim La'akev. So Rav says, either she or her father, if they change their mind, could be Ma'akev and say that the Kedushin are bottle. Rashi learns that we're talking about until the father agrees. So in other words, since the father hasn't agreed yet, and therefore these Kedushin are still pending, whether they're going to be valid or not, So if she wants to change her mind before the father hears about it or before he agrees, then that's fine, and no, and nothing is needed. On the other hand, Tosfos says that maybe not actually, maybe it could be talking about even after the father agrees, nevertheless, she could still say, you know what, actually, I changed my mind and I don't want to go through with these kiddushin. Now, it is true, of course, that the father has the ability to mekadesh her bal korcha. So to begin with, you don't really need her das, but nevertheless, in a case like this, where originally the kedushin were without her father's das, and then the father agrees, and you want to say that it's because he has a schus to marry off his daughter, but since now his daughter is ma'akev, then it turns out really it wasn't a schus after all. In other words, the Maharam teaches out in Tosfos over here that it's one thing that we ought to have said, what does it matter whether he agrees later? The fact is, the Kiddushin to begin with was done without his das. He never said, see the Kabli Kiddushin. all we're saying is maybe Nisrat Sa'av, and it's a schus for him. But now, when his daughter is saying afterwards, you know what, I decided that I don't really want it, now it's not a schus for him, now it's a chayv for him, and therefore we can say that, therefore, in other words, the fact that he agreed, he wouldn't have agreed, in other words, if he knew that his daughter was going to end up, is going to end up changing her mind.
But I was thinking this, that minute he agrees, it switches to the rising.
No, but that's the thing. If she agrees, and so you have different Rishonim discuss about it. There is a possibility that some Rishonim do bring up. If you have a period of time where both of them agreed, then yeah, maybe it would be irrevocable. But here we're talking about like, he found out about it and he says yes, and you know, at the same time or whatever, she says, you know what, I changed my mind or whatever. But yeah, in any case, it could even be. Maybe there's a little overlap, but whatever. The point is, in other words, that now it's not a schus for him anymore. He wouldn't have agreed if he knew that his daughter was going to disagree. And therefore, yeah. So, schus for him. He has the schus to be mekanisher. But yeah. So Rav says, therefore, bein he or bein avi yichon ma'akev. But again, that's all according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, we're talking about only that she can be ma'akev until her father agrees. Rav Asi Omer avi yavlayhi. He again, Rav Asi disagrees and says only her father can disagree. She has no ability to. So Eisvei Rav Huna l'Rav Asi. So Rav Huna asked Rav Asi, "V'amr l'chia barav l'Rav Asi." Others say that chia barav asked Rav Asi. What about you're contradicted by a brisa? The brisa is talking about the case of mefata. The Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim that a man seduces a girl, a naira. She's not yet moresis or anything. Then the Torah tells us either he has to marry her or he has to pay a knas. Yeah. So now the pasuk says im mo'in yemo'in avivah. If her father refuses for her to marry him, then he has to pay the knas. So what's this lashon yemoin yemoin? Ami ele avia. You would think from the pasuk that only her father can withhold his permission, and then the guy has to pay the knas. He atzma minayin. How do we know that she herself can also withhold her permission? Talmud leimer imoin yemoin mekol mokem. Therefore, we have this double expression, moin yemoin, meaning any kind of miyun, any kind of refusal is enough that therefore the marriage is not going to go through, and he has to pay the knas.
Even though the father has the right to force her.
Even though the father has the right to the kaddish or bal kocho. Well, that's the question. So in other words, the question is, so you're telling me, Rav Asi, that only the father has the right to refuse the kiddushin, but we see from this case of the hero of Mefuta that she has the right to refuse it also. So Rav answers, Rav Huna, Uchiya Barav, Loi Tezlu Basa Ipcha. Don't go according to the opposite, meaning, in other words, it actually says, don't be asking questions that ain't behem mamash. Don't be asking questions where it's very easy to deflect the question. If you're going to ask a question, make sure that it's a good one. Elsewhere, it actually explains, like, tezlo basa ipcha, means something like don't ask a question where the answer, you could easily flip around the situation and give the answer that way. Anyway, the reason is, why is it not a good question? Yochel l'shanuri l'chu, Rav Asi could easily answer you, because that's a pita oisa shaloi l'shem issues. That, you could talk, now, whether this mefata, he's not necessarily having in mind that he's going to marry her, he may be mefata her only to commit znus. So in that, mefata means he talks her into it, as opposed to oinus where he forces her, yeah. So you could say, we're talking about that he did it just l'shem znus, so there's no kiddushin in the first place. It's true, maybe, that if he receives kedushin from her, then fine. Rav says, I'm saying that she could change her mind and say, you know what, I don't want this kedushin anymore. But here, where there was no kedushin involved anyway, only znus, then that's different. So the Gemara asks, Pitzel Shalodesh from Ishus Kraboy. So what would be the chiddush? Would need a pasuk to tell us that the father or the daughter can prevent the marriage from taking place? Sure, there was no kedushin. What's the chiddush? Or like Tosfos says, actually, are you telling me the chiddush that she won't be his wife, that there won't be any kiddushin? Of course not. There wasn't a bia l'shem kiddushin. It was a bia l'shem znus. So the answer is Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok loymash mashalim knas v'mefuta. You're right. The chiddush is not that in that case that there's no kiddushin. The chiddush is that he should have to pay the knas of a mefuta. In other words, that you shouldn't think that the pasuk is not telling us the heter that she's allowed to marry anybody else, that there's no erusin over here. The pasuk is telling us rather that even if she doesn't want to get married to him, even though the father is perfectly willing, he's still going to have to pay the knas. So that's the point the pasuk is making.
Say it twice.
That's why I say in your mind to say that not only the father, if the father refuses him permission to marry her, then he has to pay the knas. But even if the father is willing, and after all, as we say, the father has the right to punish his daughter, nevertheless, since she's disagreeing, then therefore he still has to pay the knas. So that would be the chiddush. Nothing to do with the question of whether there was kiddushin here or not, but just in that case. So Rav Yosef says, if indeed that's so. Now, usually in Gemara terminology, is introducing a question. Then such and such. But you have here, and Tosfos points out, there's other places where Rav Yosef uses this expression, where he uses in a sense to corroborate, to agree with, and then to bring a proof for what we said before. So ihachi, if so, that, like you say, in the chiddush is only that we're talking about the fata shaloi l'shem ishus, and the chiddush is that she can prevent the since there was no kiddushin, she can prevent the marriage from taking place, and therefore he has to pay the knas. Haina de tenena, this explains what we learn in a braisa. It says mohu yim harena loy l'isha. The previous pasuk, still talking about the mafata, says he has to give her mohu yim harena, means he has to pay her to the amount for a wife, meaning in other words that he has to write her a ksuba with the regular amount for a wife, 200 zuz for a basula, even though she's not a basula anymore. That's the point. In other words, because the Torah is saying that because he made her no longer a basula, therefore he has to treat her as though she was one if he's going to marry her. But we learn from the word mahar yimharana. No, so in the case where he marries her, there's no knas. That's the point. He has two choices. Either if she and her father agree, and again we're saying that it has to be both of them agree, then he marries her. He doesn't pay a knas, but he writes her out a ksuba of 200 zuz, as though she was still a basula. On the other hand, if one or the other of them doesn't agree, then he has to pay the knas. The truth is actually with a mafata, he also has the option to refuse and to say, you know what, I don't want to marry her, I'll just pay the knas. That's another matter. By an oinus, he doesn't have that option. By a mafata, he does. But anyway, the point is, from the word mohu yimharen aloy leisha, we learn not only that there's a ksuba, we also learn that shitzricha heimenu kiddushin, that she requires kiddushin from him. In other words, he first has to give her the pruta or the kid, whatever, the kesef or the shtar or whatever, l'shem kiddushin.
The father will not get money for this whole thing.
The father is going to get that's the thing. He's doing kiddushin. The father is going to get the money of the kiddushin.
The same thing like an amr who works for a
similar sense. Yeah, vaguely. I don't know. I mean, it would.
Let's go with a class. And then after class, he has a child putter.
So the im pita l'shem ish l'shum ishus. Now, if you were going to tell me that to begin with the pita was that he's convincing her to marry him, or that the bia should be l'shem kiddushin or whatever kiddushin lomali, why would there need to be a separate kiddushin? Therefore, that bears out what Reb Nachman Yitzchak is saying, that to begin with the bia or the pita was not l'shem kiddushin, only l'shem znus. So now you need kiddushin. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says that's not really a solid proof. Maybe tzricha kiddushin l'das avia. Maybe all the braisa is saying is, you know, now the kiddushin, it has to be that the kiddushin should be with the das of her father.
But if he agrees, then
well, that's the thing. So it has to be because the original kiddushin was done without the das of the father, and therefore, so either it means you need new kiddushin with the das of her father, or fine, maybe what it means is that here the father agrees and says that then, and therefore it turns out that retroactively the kiddushin that the kiddushin were good. And in fact, the number of Rishonim explain that what it means is, what Abaya means is, it's true, there might be valid kiddushin, but to be on the safe side, because we don't know whether the father agreed to the original one, then you need a proper kiddushin with the rotzen of the father, or that the father will explicitly say, I agree to the original kiddushin. The point is, Abaya is saying, so you can't bring a solid proof from this. The halacha may well be like what Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying, but you can't necessarily prove it in a solid way from this braisa.
Now, would she need Nisuin now again?
Nisuin we haven't gotten to yet. We're talking about Kedushin. Nisuin eventually is going to need to take place also. The fact is, you need Nisuin. Yeah, this is, she will only be talking about Kedushin.
He lived with her,
but that was L'shem Znur, so even if it was L'shem Kedushin, it was only Be'ilah L'shem Kedushin. Yeah, Be'ilah L'shem Kedushin, and then later on you need a Chuppah, yeah.
Now, does Torah say how much the Knas is for the father?
If he's paying the Knas, then the Knas is 50 shekelim.
Okay. So now that's my question.
Again, that's only if he's paying the knas. Right. Again, if he's going to marry her, there's no knas.
shonen?
For sure. Now, that's how it is. By an onus is different, but here we're talking about mafata.
Onus
means where he rapes. So we're talking about mafata, where he seduces her. All right, we need to move on. So. Okay. Mishnah says, ha'oimel le'isha hiskatshi li'vitmarazu. A man says to a woman, be mekudesh to me with this date. And he says again, be mekudesh to me with this one. So he gives her two dates, and by each one individually, he says hiskatshi. Im yesh ba'achas man shava pruta, if at least one of them is worth a shava pruta mekudeshes, then she's mekudesh v'im lav, ain't mekudeshes. If not, then she's not mekudesh. To be exact, actually, we learned in the first paragraph, it wouldn't be she's not mekudesh at all. We would say it's a suffix. Whether she's Makodesh, because maybe the date is worth a shava pruta someplace else. But the point is, each one is considered a separate thing, so one of them individually would have to be a shava pruta. But if he tells her, be Makodesh with this and this and this, then he yes shava pruta. Then, as long as all of them together are worth a shava pruta, then she's Makodesh, v'im lav ain't Makodesh, and if not, then not. What if, as he gives her each one, she eats it, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara which of the two cases this is referring to. So if she's eating them one by one as he gives it to her, then she's not mekudesh unless one of them is a shava pruta. We're going to see we're going to see in a minute which case of the Mishnah, which of the two cases of the Mishnah, where he says iskad shali bizu, or whether he says bizu, which one is this last statement the Mishnah referring to? So first, the Gemara says, and we learned this the other day, man tana iskad shi, which tana is it that would say that only when he says iskad shi separately for each one, does it mean that each one is a separate act of kedushin, but if you were to say bizu, then it all is aggregated together. Amar Rabba, Rav Shimon, that would be specifically appointed Rav Shimon, da'ama ad shiyem ha-shvu al-cholachad rechad, where we have the case we talked about the other day in the Gemara, where a man owes, where many people claim that a person owes them money, and he says, a shvua that I don't owe you, then he's chayiv and asham zelus for each one individually, as it says Rav Shimon, as opposed to if he were to say, shvua that I don't owe you, or you, at you, and you, and you, then he'd be chayiv only one, and then we said we had different other opinions over there, we had Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, who have different understandings of on that topic of what would be considered klal and what would be considered prat. The one who says that you have to say shavua individually for each one would be Rav Shimon, the same way Rav Shimon would say over here, you have to say skadshi for each one. In other words, so in our case, if you said skadshi, bizu, you still might have that Rav Meir or Rav Yehuda would still consider that each one is a separate thing. But Rav Shimon is going to consider them all together because he only said skadshi once. So our Mishnah is like Rav Shimon. That's what we discussed the other day in the Gemara. Didn't that mean the first Mishnah in our Perek also had to be like Rav Shimon, and we were trying to make it work like Rav Yehuda, and we said maybe Rav Shimon agrees with Rav Yehuda in the matter of Shlichus that we mentioned in the first Mishnah. Now, we said Bezu, Yesh Bekor, and Shavu Prota. So we said that at the end of the Mishnah, we have the case where she's eating them one by one, and we're saying that she's Makodesh only if one of them is a Shavu Prata then. So, Aheya, which part of the Mishnah is that part referring to?
She stops in between, or what does it mean?
He gives her one, she eats it. He gives her another one, she eats it. And he says, well, that's what we have to figure out. Did he tell her to begin with, he's scheduled bizu, and now she's eating them one at a time? Or are we talking about what he said, he's scheduled bizu? So we're talking about, he said, he's scheduled bizu. Individually, you're Makodesh to me with each one, and she's eating them one at a time. Or are we talking about where he said, bizu, implying, as the Mishnah is saying, that the Kedushin is going to be with all of them together, and now she ate them one at a time, and at the end we only have one sitting in front of us. So we have to figure out. Yeah. So, which part of the Mishnah is that part referring to? Ilema Aresha, are you saying it's referring to the Resha, where he said, iskadshili bizu? My Iriya Echelas, what's the difference whether she's eating or not? After the Manachas Nami, even if she put them all down on the table in front of her, it wouldn't work, as the Mishnah said, though he's casually bazookamer, because each one he said individually, be Makodesh to me with this one, and this one is not a Shavu Prota. So you can't combine them together, or you have to figure whether it's worth a Shavu Prota, but the point is, by saying iskadshili bizu, he's clearly saying each one is a separate thing, and you can't combine them together. So it wouldn't really matter whether she ate them or not. Doesn't matter. Either way, the point is, we have to figure out, of any of the ones here, is any of them a Shavu Prota individually or not? Ela Asefa. So then would you have to say that it's referring to the Sefer of the Mishnah, where he said, Bezu, 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 and the implication is all of them together make up the Shavu Prota. The question is, Vafilu v'kamaisa, how would it work, even if the, so how would it work? So we said in the Mishnah, if she's eating all of them, that as long as one of them is a Shavu Prota is good, but how would it help? What if one of the earlier ones, what if the first one or the second one was worth the Shavu Prota, and by the time the Kedushin is finished, she's eaten it? Now, in effect, the Kedushin is not finished until she receives all the dates, because he said, Vizu, 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 implying I'm going to be giving you a whole bunch of dates, and when I finish giving it to you, the Kedushin will take effect. So therefore, so if she's eating the earlier one, then in effect she's borrowing him then. She's borrowing him them from him. And I'm a Kaddish Milva and a Makadesh. You can't be Makadish with a Milva because you can't be Makadish with a Milva because there's no tangible thing to you at the time. So one way or the other, it seems that the last case of the Mishnah doesn't fit with either part of the Mishnah. Tosfos points out that later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about, for example, a case where a man is Makadish a woman and says the Kedushin should take effect after 30 days. So I'm giving you the money now, but the Kedushin will take effect 30 days from now. Then it's fine. Even if the money is spent in between, it was given to her to begin with, L'shem Kedushin, and therefore it's valid. Why wouldn't we say the same thing over here? Tosfos says the difference is because there you have, he said a complete statement. He said, scadually, all he did is he said that it should take 30 days for it to take effect. Here he's saying, scadually, vizu, 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 until he finishes giving her the dates, the Kedushin are not completed. The very act of Kedushin itself is not completed. Therefore, when she's eating the earlier one, it becomes a milva. So she owes him for those dates that she ate. But the point is, I'm a Kaddish Milva and I'm a Kodeshis. So that's the question, in other words. So how are we going to make this mission work?
How much time does it matter?
So Amar of Yochanan, sort of Yochanan says it, it's true, we really don't understand the Mishnah. Harei shulchan v'harei basar v'harei sakin. We've got the table, we've got the meat, we've got the knife, everything's all ready. But ain't manu lachol, and we have nothing to eat. We have a beferish of Mishnah over here, and we can't understand it. On the other hand, Rav and Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, Rav and Shmuel both say, here is how we'll explain the Mishnah. La'olam ha'resha, we will in fact understand that the last part of the Mishnah about her eating them is referring back to the resha. And, you're going to ask, in that case, what's the chiddush? We said that each one is how is that going to work anyway? We're saying, what's the chiddush? Even if she's putting them on the table, it doesn't matter because each one has to be a separate, has to be valid, a pruta, not each one. One of them has to be worth a pruta by itself. The point we would say, the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush, and needless to say, if she puts them on the table in front of her, only if one of them is a shavu prota, then there's kedushin, and if not, then there's not. Then at best, there's suffer kedushin. Avo echelas, you would have thought when she's eating them, she takes the first one and eats it before she gets the second one. Since she has an immediate hana, as soon as she got it, she was able to eat it. Maybe she's willing to be makna herself to him, even if there's not a shavu prota in any one of them. Now, it is true, to be sure, Tosfos says, she doesn't have the right to be makadish herself with less than a prota. The fact is, we learned in the first parak, you need a prota. She doesn't have the right to say, I'm willing to be makadish with less than a prota. So it's not really that much of a chiddush, but still, you know, it's a tiny bit of a chiddush, and it's easy enough to make a tzrichosa to say that the Mishnah, therefore, can tell us the chiddush. Even in that case, Kamash Malan, then still Kamash Malan that she's not Makodesh. Because there's no Shavu Prota. So unless one of them has a Shavu Prota, then she's Makodesh. If not, then it's only Suffolk Makodesh.
But if she had not started from the first one.
Doesn't matter, because he said Skadshili Bazoo, Skadshili Bazoo. Each one has to be individually an act of Kedushin. So only if at least one of them is an actual act of Kedushin, that it's a Prota, the fact that she's eating them, so he would say that's the Kedush of the Mishnah. So it's not much of a chiddush, because the fact is, you're saying there's less than a prutta in any one of them, but it's a tiny chiddush, and therefore it's worth it for the Mishnah to say. So she wouldn't be mekodesh. She'd be mekodesh b'safek, to be exact, because this date might be worth a prutta someplace else where they can't commonly get dates. In fact, the Rambam Farshim will point out that may be why the Mishnah specifically uses the example of a date. The Rambam points out this concept of Shema Shava Putta Mokam Acher. The Rambam says that wouldn't apply to, that wouldn't apply, no, it wouldn't apply, for example, what if he was Makadisha with a vegetable, by the time you bring it to that Mokam Acher, it's spoiled, or a vegetable, or a cooked dish, or whatever, so then it wouldn't be valid Kedushin at all, because now you can't say Shema Shava Putta Mokam Acher. You can't bring it to that Mokam Acher. Now, other Rishonim, we said there in the first paragraph, disagree with the Rambam on that and say the fact is you might have somebody else from that area over here and he sees that we're going to say it's not Kedushin and he's going to think such a thing is not valid Kedushin even in his place and he's going to go back home and think that. But the fact that we're saying over here a date kind of supports the Rambam's position. Why would it be mentioning a date, for example, rather than a vegetable or something? Would be because dates are low, can be stored long term and therefore it's easy enough to transport them to Mokam Acher. Anyway. So that's Rav and Shmuel's explanation of the Mishnah. Rav Ami disagrees and says that actually the Mishnah, the part of the Mishnah about her eating them is referring to the Sefer. What does he mean by one of them should be a Shavu Prota? Doesn't mean any one of them. Only if the last one that he gave her is a Shavu Prota. Then you have Kedushin, because now he gave it to her, she accepted it, and only then she ate it. Fine, when she ate it, it's hers. But if she ate any of the, if it was any of the earlier ones that was, if it was any of the earlier ones that was a Shavu Prota, then it wouldn't work, because now you have a Milva and a Makadish Milva and a Makadish. So, again, we're talking about the Sefer. He says, you're Makodesh to me, Bezeo, Bezeo, Bezeo. Now what we're saying is, so he gives her the first one, she eats it. He gives her the second one, she eats it. He gives her the third one, and she eats it. But if the third one is worth a Shavu Prota, then you have Kedushin. If you have only the first or the second one was, and the third one was not, then you don't have Kedushin over here. At best, you have Suffolk Kedushin, because now you have a Milva. Is there in fact a machloikas? Tosfos a little further in the sugya learns that in fact there is a machloikas, that would a person be changing his mind in the middle? Does he intend maybe that he starts out thinking that it's kedushin, but now he's thinking maybe that it'll be more like a pikodin or a matana? We'll get into that soon in the Gemara. On the other hand, the Ravid says, and the Rashba brings from him, that it's not really a machloikas, So they said it's a bit of a doichuk to explain the Mishnah to say that in Yesh Ba'achas Mehen should be referring dafka to the last one. So therefore they would say it's easier to explain that the statement of Hosei Chelas is referring to the first one. But in fact, maybe they would agree with his din that in the second case of the Mishnah, if she was eating them one by one, then it would have to be that the last one is, that the last one is the Shavu Prota.
The last one makes sense, because by the time she finishes the last one, which is a small, dates are small, then she's satisfied.
That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. So the question is whether it's a Shavu Prota or not. Anyway, so two different ways of understanding. And Omar Rabba Shmamin Midrab Ami Tlas. Based on what Rab Ami says, we can derive three dinim from that. Number one, Shmamin HaMakadosh Milva Enim HaKodeshes. You can learn that if you're Makadosh with a Milva, it doesn't work, like we just discussed. Now, there are opinions that say it does work. We're going to discuss it further on in Daphne and Zion. Famously, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Shaul and David had a Machloikas about that. Therefore, there was an argument whether David's Kedushin to Michal were valid Kedushin or not, because according to one possibility in the Gemara over there, it was a Makadosh Milva. And therefore it wouldn't be valid. That's why Shaul felt free to take her and give her to Palti ben Laish instead, because she wasn't Makodesh to David. Whereas David held it was valid Kedushin, and the Gemara discusses it in Sanhedrin over there. We're not going to get into it over here. But the point is that you have an opinion further on that says, I'm a Kaddish Milva Mufudeshes. Now we're saying, though, based on what Rav Ami is saying, obviously not. Otherwise, it wouldn't matter whether the first one or the second one or the third one is worth a Shavu Prota.
That was Shaul's daughter?
That was Shaul's daughter, yeah. Ushmamina Makadish Milvo Prutta Daita Prutta. We also see that if you're Makadish with a Milva and a Prutta, so he gives, there's a Milva, there's an outstanding Milva that she owes him. And he additionally gives a Prutta. We would say she has in mind the Prutta. So in other words, what do we have? Here we have a Milva and a Prutta, because we have the first two that are considered a Milva, and then we have the third one, which is like the Prutta. And therefore, we're saying that works. In other words, the Chiddush is, we don't say that she has in mind the Milva, and therefore she doesn't intend for the Prutta to be the Kedushin. We would say, they are also, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, that was also part of the Machlokas with Shaul and David. So I don't want to get into too much details, because we don't have time, but the Kitzer, Shaul had two daughters. Originally, David intended to marry the first one, but it didn't go through, and she ended up marrying somebody else. So the Gemara mentions over there because he intended to be Makadosh over the Milva, and Hamakadosh Milva, and Hamakodeshes. Then he goes, and then is Makadosh Michal, and the Gemara says, there he was with Milva Upruta, because yeah, Meir Orla splished him, which counts as a Pruta, as the Gemara discusses over there, and according to one possibility, David held that that's valid, and Shoal held it's not. We're there, the Halacha would be, as we're saying over here, that Daita Milva. So now the Halacha would be like David. But anyway, that's the second.
And marrying her?
And therefore, so in the end, David married her, but later on when he escaped from Shoal, Shoal held that marriage had never been a valid one in the first place, and he gave her to Palti ben Laish, and Palti was machmir on himself to be on the safe side, and he never touched her all the years, and later on the Pasuk calls him Palti Eil, that he went through a tremendous nisayon, Ushmamina, and the third thing we can learn from Rav Asi's statement, Mo'is ba'al mechuzrin, when a man is Makadish a woman, and it turns out the Kedushin were not valid, we don't say that the money ended up being a matana. We would say it's considered a pikodin, and she has to repay him. So that's why we say, and that's why we're calling the ones that she ate at the beginning a milva, because if in the end there's no Kedushin, she's going to have to repay him that milva. So therefore, so we see that in general that you have that if you're Makadish and the Kedushin are not valid for whatever reason, then the money has to be returned. We wouldn't say that he gave it to her as a present. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses some more details in that. And again, one of the questions is that maybe that is part of the argument between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel would hold that in general we would consider it a matana. Rav Asi is holding we consider it only a pekodin. So that brings us into the next piece. Itmar. Hamakadish achosai. What if a man gives kedushin to his sister? Now, obviously, that's not valid because kedushin are not tofus. It's an isokaris. What's the status of the money? Rav Omar Mois Chozrim, Rav says the money has to be repaid. In other words, it's considered a milva. Adam Yedea Shein Kedushin Tofsin Rachos. So because a person knows that Kedushin cannot possibly be Tofus with his sister, the Gomer Venosan Lashon Pekodin. So therefore, evidently, when he's giving her the money, then he's giving it to her only as a Pekodin, and she's going to have to repay it. This is Rav saying.
But you skipped Shmuel Omar?
Oh, you're right, I did skip. Well, Shmuel on a matana. You're right, I did skip, sorry. So, and Shmuel says, no, the money is considered a matana. She doesn't have to repay it. So, Rabbi, on the Mois, Chosrim, Odom Yedesh, in condition to Sima Chosrim, the government of Nasan Lashon Pekodim. The question is, in that case, why didn't he say flat out, this is a Pekodim? The Lame Alon Lashon Pekodim. Let him tell her, sister, I want to give this money to you and you hold on to it for me. And so it's stubble on the tablet. He might figure she doesn't want it, then she may not want to take the responsibility for a Pekodin or whatever. So therefore he tricks her and says, I'm giving it to you as Kedushin, but in fact it counts as a Pekodin, because ultimately there's no Kedushin. Well, Shmuel Amar Mois Matana. Shmuel says, no, the money is considered a Matana. Exactly that. Odom Yedeshin Kedushin Tofsin Bachos. So he knows Kedushin are not Tofus. The Gom of Anosna Lashum Matana. Therefore, he has in mind to give it to her as a Matana. Well, then the question is, V'nei Mo Lashum Matana. Then why does he tell her flat out that he's giving her Matana? And the answer is, Kasavak Sifala Milsa. He may figure she'd be embarrassed to accept a Matana from him. So therefore, he pretends like it's Kedushin, where she's willing to accept it, but in fact, it counts as a Matana. So now let's analyze that. So Masiv Ravina. So Ravina says, I have a contradiction on Shmuel. A Mishnah says in Masechta Challah. Now we know you have to take challah from dough. What about before the flour and the water were mixed? It's not yet chayav and challah. So the Mishnah says, Hamafish chalosei kemach. If a person separates his challah when the flour is still flour, it hasn't yet been mixed with the water, einei challah, it's not valid challah. Because when the Torah says that you have to give challah, it says, reishis arisei seichem, the beginning of your dough. Well, there's no dough here yet. So therefore, it's not considered challah. The gezel, the ad koyin, and if the koyin were to take it, it would be considered gezel because he's not entitled to it yet. So, Ravina says, based on what Shmuel is saying, that you can have something which was supposed to be Kedushin and instead it turns into a Matana, why don't you say the same thing over here with Challah? V'amai Gezel B'yad Koyin, why would we consider it Gezel? Neima Odom Yedeshen Mafushim Challah Kemach. Shouldn't we say the same thing? A person knows that you don't separate Challah as flour, the Gomma, the Nosan Lashum Matana, and he gives it having in mind that it's Matana. So the fact that we don't see that, that's a question on Shmuel. The answer is no. Shiny hasim the nafak churva mine. It's true. From the point of view of dinei mominus, you could do that. But the reason why the Chachamim don't want that to happen is because you may have a problem that may come out from it, namely that people are gonna misapply the halacha. What's gonna happen is like this. Zimnin de isle the koyin pochus mechameshus revoyin kamach. You might have that the koyin has a batch of dough which is less than five quarters of a kav, one and a quarter kav, which is the shiur challah. Rashi goes into some detail over here how exactly we calculate that. The bottom line is we learn it from the amount of from the mon, val oimer asidu se'efah, where every person got an oimer of mon a day. An oimer comes out in if you translate an oimer into measurements of lugim, it comes out to 1.8 lug. And then Rashi points out, based on other Gemaras, there were two times in Jewish history when they enlarged the midas. They decided what the old midah, the old measurement of a lug or whatever is going to be 5/6 the size of a new one. So they increased it by 20%, and therefore you come out at the end once all of that was done. And then you come out that the amount of challah is 1.25 kavim of the newest kind of kavim. They're called kavim tziporis. They're called midas tziporis. Measurements of tziporis. Tziporis is in the Galil in the north of Eretz Yisrael. So they made these measurements sometime after the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Anyway, the point is that so you may have the Koyan has less than what that is in modern measurements. As we know, you have different opinions about it. Different poskim, different contemporary poskim say measurements anywhere between about 3 and 5 pounds. Anyway, the point is, what happens if the koyin has an amount of dough less than that? So it's potter from challah. Bahai olishle bahadi bahai, and he also has, let's say, this flour that the Yisro gave him. Alishle bahadi adodi. Now he mixes all of that together because suddenly tapni isase. He thinks that look, it's no problem. I don't have to take challah because I started with less than the right amount of dough, and then this flour that I added that came from this Yisro already was valid challah. So therefore he's going to think that everything's good, but osi lemechol the tivla, and now he's going to wind up eating the dough. It's going to be tevel because in fact challah does need to take. So the challah does need to be taken from it. So therefore, that would be a reason, even if from the point of view of dinim mominus, we would say he could give it to the kohen as a gift. But the fact is that the fact is that here you have, you could end up with a problem with it, where the kohen is going to misunderstand what's going on and think that this was valid challah and eat it as tevel. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ha'amet odom yedeshen mefishin chala kema. You just said people know you don't give chala as flour. So how would the koyin make such a mistake? And the answer is, yedeya ve'en yedeya. You could say the koyin knows a detail in this halacha, but he doesn't know the halacha fully. Yedeyashen mefishin chala kema. He does know it's true that you don't give chala as dough. Ve'en yedeya, he doesn't know why. Discover, he might think, tamayumai, he might think, why did the Chachamim say that you don't take challah from flour? Not because the Pasuk says, Reish HaSeris HaSeichem, he may just think, Mishum Tircha Dekoyen, he may think, you know what, the Chachamim didn't want to be matriach me, that I should then have to go and make the dough, in the flour into dough, so therefore the Chachamim say to the Balabais, wait until you make it into dough in order to not have to put the koy into that tircha. Well, fine, the tircha to koyin achilte. Fine, a tircha I can be moichel on. So therefore, he's going to think that therefore it is after all valid fala. So in other words, now Tosfos says the balabas maybe won't have a problem because he won't know whether the koyin is moichel or not. But the koyin himself is going to think, look, I can be moichel on that. And therefore, so it is valid challah. And therefore, now he's going to mix it with more flour or more dough of his. I think the whole thing is potter from challah. He's going to mix it with another batch of dough that he already has, which is not yet chameshus revoyim. And now the whole thing becomes chameshus revoyim. Now it's chayiv and challah, but the kohen mistakenly is going to think that it's not. So therefore, that's not a contradiction on Shmuel. It might be a matona, but we don't want to allow such a matona to go through because of that problem. So the Gemara asks, so what's the problem? why we still saying it's gezel b'yad koyin, and the koyin actually has to return it to the balabas. The tehevit truma, still we should consider it truma. It should be considered chala. The loyte ochad shiyotzia lechala makamacher. All we would say is that the koyin has to, that the koyin can't eat this dough that he mixed this, that he mixed this flour into until he takes chala on behalf of that from someplace else. So milotnan, wouldn't it be similar to a case that we learn in a Mishnah? What if a person has produce that grew in a flower pot with a hole, and he has other produce that grew in a plant in a flower pot without a hole, where when it has a hole, then it's chayev in truma min atorah, because then it gets nourishment from the ground. When it doesn't have a hole, then it's chayev only d'rabbanan. So if he does that, if he takes truma from produce that grew in an otzit nokuv, which is darai, which is valid, which is required in truma daraisa, and he takes on behalf of she'enei nokuv, on behalf of produce that's chayav only derabanan, truma, it is valid truma, and you have to give it to the kohen. But he can't actually eat it until he takes the kohen himself is going to have to take truma and ma'aser on this truma from someplace else. Rishonim discussed, could he maybe even take from within itself? The point is, in other words, that, the point is that, actually Rashi says that he doesn't even need Mimokamacho, he could really take from this Truma itself, he could really take a portion of it out as Truma. The point is, in other words, that it's not, even though it's Truma, it's not full-fledged Truma. The Kohen doesn't have to return it to the Yisrael, but nevertheless, it's still considered Tevel, because it's not really valid Truma, because it was given on behalf of something that Midaraisa is not Chayiv in Truma. Therefore, the Kohen just received it as Tevel, and he has to take Truma on it. So we see that you can have a case where the Yisrael gives something to the Kohen. It's not really considered truma in the fullest sense. Nevertheless, the Kohen doesn't have to return it. He just has to take care of the tevel situation. Why don't we say the same thing in the case of the flour? The Kohen doesn't have to return to the flour, but he has to take challah on behalf of that flour from within it or from something else. The answer is, the Gemara says, betray money tzois. Because there you're talking about two different containers. You're talking about an otzit nokuv and an otzit sheni nokuv. So there are two different ones. So we're going to tell the koyin, look, it didn't become truma because it came from two different types of flower pots. So he'll listen to us and he'll say, you know what, that's a valid point. Fine, I'll take truma. But when it's all in one container, he's not going to listen to us. He's going to think that was Sam hacking a China to him. So like this, when he gets this flour from Yisrael and he mixes it with his own smaller batch of dough, and now the whole thing becomes a shiur challah, it's all in one keli. If we tell him, wait, that was not yet challah, what you have over here is still tevel, he's not going to listen to us. And say, okay, well, then I better take challah from it. He's going to think that he doesn't need to. He's going to say, what are you talking about? Therefore, we're going to require him to return it to the Yisrael in order to make it very clear to him that we don't have valid challah over here yet, that what we still have is tevel. Okay, so all of that is a way of explaining why that case involving the flour is not a contradiction to Shmuel. The Iboyesema, or another way you could explain that Mishnah about the flour as not contradicting Shmuel. La'olam koyin meitzes tzayis. You could say that the koyin himself will listen either way, even in the situation of the flour. So therefore, in fact, Rashi points out, first of all, koyinim zrizimim. Second of all, you bechlal to give truma and chala, you're supposed to give to a koyin who is a tamid chacham, who's a chaver. So the Kohen is going to realize, is going to understand if we tell him that if we're going to tell him the fact is it wasn't challah, not because of any concern for your tircha, but because Reishis Aris Yisaychem, then fine, he'll understand that. So the problem is not the Kohen. The problem is the Balabas. Because Balabayas nitakni yisasi, the Balabayas is going to think that he took proper challah, but osi lemeichel b'tivla, and he's going to go eat it as tevel, not realizing that challah cannot be taken from flour, and therefore that the rest of his dough, the rest of his flour, which he ended up making into dough, is still tevel. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Why is he going to think that? Ha'amitz adam yedeshen mafishin chalatema. Didn't we just say, according to Shmuel, that a person knows that you can't take chala from flour, and therefore we would assume that he gives the flour as a present to the kohen? And again, the Gemara answers, yedeya, any yedeya, like before, we would say there's something that he knows, but there's also something that he doesn't know. He does know it's true that challah is not supposed to be given from flour, the enyadeh, but he doesn't understand why. He thinks that it's because of the koyin's tircha, because it's going to be a bother to make the dough. Tircha de koyin, kabla alay, he's going to think, okay, look, the koyin was willing to accept the flour from me. Obviously, he doesn't care about the tircha. So therefore, it should be valid truma. Therefore, it should be valid challah, and he's not going to realize it has nothing to do with whether the kohen is machbid. It has to do with whether it was in fact valid challah. Okay. So again, the Gemara asks, but to have a truma of a yachs of a yitrim. So why don't we apply the rule that it would be truma, but he has to take truma again? Miloy tnan. Don't we have another case again involving flower pots? But here, the opposite of what we said before. Before we said that he took truma from the one that was chayav daraisa on the one that's chayav d'rabbanan. So there, the balabas doesn't need to do anything else because he's only chayav d'rabbanan. So the chum say, fine, that's good enough, Tosfos explained. But the koyin who received that, since it's not valid truma, the koyin himself is going to have to take truma on it from someplace else. But here you have the opposite case. If a person gives truma from stuff that grew in a flower pot without a hole, which is chayav only d'rabbanan, on behalf of things that grew in a flower pot with a hole, which is chayav d'araisa, truma, it's valid truma, meaning the kohen gets to keep it, the yachs of the yitzrayim, and but the balabas still has to give truma again. So you see that you have a case there where the kohen gets to keep it, but you still take truma again. Why don't we say the same thing here with the flour? We'll say the kohen gets to keep the flour, but the yisrael still has to take challah again. And the answer is, we already said, when it comes to two kalim, two different things, two flower pots, we can get the balabas to understand that this was no good, and therefore that he should take truma again. But when it's all in one kali over here, within the case of the dough and the flour, it's not. He's going to say, you don't know what you're talking about, and therefore he's going to think he doesn't have to give challah. So the Gemara says, Beloit Sois, you're telling me even in one kali a person is not going to listen to such a thing? But Hatzman, we learn in a Mishnah, Hatorim Kishus, if a person takes truma from a squash, the nymphum or kishus, the squash or whatever, some kind of vegetable like that, the nymphum mora, and it turns out it's bitter, it's not edible. Or abatiach the nimsa saruach, or he took truma from a watermelon and it turned out to be spoiled. Truma, what he took is truma, and the kohen gets to keep it. The kohen himself may not want to eat it, but fine, he can feed it to his animal or whatever. The yachs of the yitrim, but the yisrael still has to give truma proper truma again. So the point is, we see that even though it's one keli, and he's going to say, wait, if it's truma, and the kohen gets to keep the bad one that I gave him, why do I have to give him another good one? Nevertheless, we say that's how it is, so he is going to listen. The answer is shiny hostim debidaraisa truma malyin. The difference is that in that case of the spoiled watermelon or whatever, it would actually be midaraisa, would be valid truma. It's only midarabana now. Midi Rabbi Loi, based on what Rabbi Loi says, Dama Rabbi Loi, minayim matorim min aro ala yofesh atrumasi truma. How do we know a person takes truma from something bad on something good? It is valid truma, b'di'evid. Shat shenema, because the pasuk says, v'loi sisu olav chep arim chemes chelvoi. You won't, this is talking to the Levium when they're giving truma smicer, if you give chelvoi, if you give the best of the produce as truma, then you won't be bearing a sin. So implying, in other words, but if you gave from something that's not so good, then you will have a sin. So if he's in a kodesh, if it's anyway not going to be kodesh, and to see a schet lama, then in what way is he sinning? Because, in other words, the point is, so if it's not truma, then he didn't accomplish anything anyway. There's no aveda to talk about. From here we see that if he takes truma from what's bad and what's good, then midaraisa it would be valid truma. So therefore, in other words, so now we don't have the problem that he might end up eating tevel, that he's not going to listen to us and eat tevel. Even if he does, worst we're talking about, he's over on an isur derabban. So therefore, so therefore, we don't have such a, we're not going to make such a big deal out of that. But on the other hand, in the case of the flour, where it's not even on a deraisa level, it's not valid challah, we want to make sure the guy's not going to be eating tevel, and therefore we don't want him, we want the kohen to return the flour to him, otherwise he's mistakenly going to think that it was valid challah. And because it's one keli, he's not going to listen if we tell him, you know what, it wasn't valid truma, because you can only give truma from dough, he's going to think it only matters the tircha of the kohen. And the kohen was moichel on that, and therefore he's going to end up eating the rest of the batch of dough, the rest of the bread, as tevel. But in this case, over here, with the bad vegetable, with the bad cucumber or whatever, anyway, midaraisa, it's no longer tevel, and the fact that dirabanan, it's still tevel, we're not so worried about that. If he listens to us and takes the other truma good, even if not, then he's not being over on it, it's a dirabanan. Okay, so in any case, the point is that this doesn't contradict Shmuel. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we'll get back to the matter of Kiddushin and the dinim of our Mishnah about being Makadish with one date at a time over the whole bunch of dates together.
It's a Goyach.